It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. We're glad that you're with us this morning, and it is, as we're progressing through, we're almost finished with the month of June. It's June 29th. May God bless and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, and give you peace. At this time, brothers and sisters, we will have our opening prayer. Let's pray together at this time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy. We ask that you bless us, keep us, cause your face to shine upon us, and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
amen. We're talking today about the controlling power of appetite and the power of generational curses. God is will help you be victorious, brothers and sisters. There is not a temptation The Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's pray. Father, be with us now as we study in Jesus' name. The controlling power of appetite and the power of generational curses. We're reading from Genesis 25, but we're starting with verse 21. Okay, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Beautiful thing, it's beautiful to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Brothers and sisters, God says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth, I ordained thee a prophet. Again, what we are facing today, where people who are male want to be female, and females want to be males, you are slapping God in the face. This is one more proof text. God knows exactly what's in the mother's womb, my brothers and sisters, and he has a plan for that which is in the mother's womb. He had the nations that these two twins would birth. He knew everything. So if you came out a boy, you're a boy. I don't care if you are wearing a wig. I don't care how many hormones you take and how much breast tissue you can grow because of those hormones. It doesn't matter. The world might call you a she, and they might think that we're violating your civil rights if we call you a he, but you have to understand we are bound by God to acknowledge God's decision for your life. God's decision for your life is more important than your decision for your life, my brothers and sisters. And we just can't do it. I just can't call a he a she. I'm not going to do it. I just can't. I don't believe the Lord would have me to do it. Now, please understand. Please understand. God does not want us to be rude. God does not want us to be crude. God wants us to be kind. I'm a medical missionary. If a person who was transgender had diabetes, would we help them? Absolutely. That has nothing to do. God is merciful. But if I knew that person was George, and that person said, my name is Georgette. Okay, I don't have any problem. Whatever you want to call yourself, but I can't refer to you as a she. So if you have a problem with that, maybe this is not the ministry to come to. But if you need help, we're here to help you. Powerful principles, brothers and sisters. If the Bible was just read and studied and understood by people, it would be an awesome thing. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. That means red, actually, I believe. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So their father was 60 when they were born. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, it's not a good thing to have favorites. Now, please understand, brothers and sisters, there will be people in your life that you get along with better, of even your family members. There will be people that you're closer to, but do reject the urges to play favorites, okay? Abraham got in trouble with that. Not Abraham. I'm thinking of Jacob got in trouble with that, okay? Jacob got in trouble with that when he played favorites to his son Joseph, all right? And it wasn't good for Joseph, so let's be careful. But if you study the Bible, you will find that the disciples, the apostles, Jesus had many disciples. He had 12 apostles. They were sometimes called disciples, but they were his apostles. And the 12 apostles were closer to him than the disciples. Of the apostles, Peter, James, and John were closer to him than the other nine. Not because Jesus was playing favorites, they just wanted to spend more time with him. And of the three, John was closer than Peter and James. He just had to always be around Jesus. So it's all right. Don't feel bad because you might click with somebody and you know, just don't do wrong. Don't play favorites. Don't play political games. When something is due to somebody, you give it to somebody else. When that other person worked for it, that's what the world does, brothers and sisters. But, you know, just to be balanced, you can have someone that, you know, a boy can be a mama's boy and a girl can be a daddy's girl, okay? That doesn't mean she doesn't love mom and it doesn't mean he doesn't love dad. So we want to keep things in balance. But we can't say really, the Bible doesn't say this is favoritism, but it lets us know that he was closer to his mother. Jacob was closer to his mother, Esau closer to his father. We just want to give a godly caution there, okay? And Jacob sawed pottage, verse 29, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. See, brothers and sisters, the devil comes to us at our weakest point. That doesn't mean that if you go to God, he won't give you strength, because he will. Esau had been working, doing all this. Now, Jacob loved the spiritual things. He wanted Esau's birthright. He probably heard from his mother, who knew, and the father knew too, that the older would serve the younger. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that when we hear that God has a plan for our lives, sometimes we try to work that plan in our own plans and strengths, okay? If God has a plan for your life and he's revealed that plan, you still have to let him work out the plan. Jacob was to be the one who would carry the spiritual lineage on to Jesus Christ. However, he was to let God work that out, and he was not to try to work that out through deception, which is not part of our subject today. That's going to come in the future. And so Esau comes in, and Jacob is selfish, and Esau is hungry. Esau, behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? See, the birthright was his spiritual heritage. And so he put a bowl of lentils above his spiritual heritage. Friends, many of us are doing that today. We're putting hamburgers and french fries and the flesh of dead animals in various types, overeating, too much food. We have different cravings, different ones of us. Some people, I talked to some wonderful gentlemen yesterday. I mean, they were just good guys. You know, we were all working together. We're doing something here at the house, and I just say, hey, I'm going to come out. You don't have to pay me. I'm just getting a little exercise. And so I just kind of worked with them, and we talked, and I shared some things with them about health and the Sabbath and things of this nature. However, to my surprise, actually, I thought they were much older than me. Those guys were younger than me. I was amazed. But anyway, that's another subject. But when I started talking to them about the original diet, they just couldn't, I can't live without my meat, you know. Can't live without my turkey, my possum, my this or that or whatever they eat. Brothers and sisters, we have just, the appetite has just taken over, and we can't even imagine life without chicken. We can't imagine life without turkey. Let me tell you something. They were shocked when I told them the majority of our lives, because they were both 54. I'm 55, and I thought they were in their 60s. But I will tell you this, brothers and sisters, I told them I haven't had a piece of meat in 40 years. They couldn't believe it. And we talked about that, you know, but the appetite is what's killing us. That's why there's so much cancer and arthritis and diabetes and hypertension and autoimmune disease and mental illnesses, brothers and sisters. It would be bad enough if man left the earth alone, but now we got all kind of hormones and chemicals that we put in the feed for the animals and in the animals themselves. And then we process all the food, and we take the brown rice, and we take the bran out, and we take the germ out, and we sell it as white rice, and then we sell the germ back to the people and the bran back to the people. Just keep it all together and just eat brown rice. Friends, it's our diet. It's killing us, and this is a lesson for us that Esau was willing to give up his spiritual interest. And when you have appetite controlling you, you're letting appetite take over your spiritual interest, brothers and sisters. Don't do it. It's not worth it. God can give you the victory. You might think you can't live without a piece of chicken, but I'm here to tell you that there's not going to be chicken in heaven that you will eat. There won't be turkey sandwiches in heaven. There's not going to be beef, pork, chicken, fish to eat. We will go back to the original diet. You know why I know? Because the Bible says neither will there be any more death. An animal has to die in order for you to have your breakfast and lunch, brothers and sisters. That bacon didn't grow from a garden. That steak didn't grow in a greenhouse. Something had to die. There's no more death in heaven, no more spilled blood in heaven, friends. And so if we just think we can't live life without these things, brothers and sisters, we're not preparing for heaven. Let's get prepared for heaven. And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. I want to read something to you, friend. This is from a book called Counsels on Diet and Food. Listen carefully. The controlling power of appetite will prove the ruin of thousands. When, if they had conquered on this point, they would have had moral power to gain the victory over every other temptation of Satan. But those who are slaves to appetite will fail in perfecting Christian character. The continual transgression of man for 6,000 years has brought sickness, pain, and death as its fruit. And as we near the close of time, Satan's temptation to indulge appetite will be more powerful and more difficult to overcome. It's not impossible to overcome, but it'll be more difficult. So Satan is using appetite, my friend. So God has blessed us that we know the devil's tactics. Why God said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. It's just good to do some fasting to make sure you have power over your appetite by the grace of God. You see, when you fast, if you're not used to it, you need God's help. So fasting causes you to increase your dependence on God. That's all we need. If we depend on God, we have sure victory. And we listen and we obey, we have sure victory. God will bless you and give you power over temptation, friends. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, we don't take the way of escape. God will distract us from the temptation, but if we keep going back to it, you know, God will bless you if you really want help, friends. And we don't have to be controlled by appetite. All right, let's go back. Now we're reading Genesis 26. Remember our title, The Controlling Power of Appetite and the Power of Generational Curses. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants us to prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers, but he will guide us. Sometimes we think we need to go down to Egypt. You know, Egypt is actually a symbol of sin, brothers and sisters. It became a symbol of sin as they had to come out of Egypt to serve God, the children of Israel. It just symbolizes that. So some of us want to go back to Egypt. And they were constantly wanting to go back to Egypt, often for their food. They wanted to go back to Egypt for the flesh pots and the bread that they did eat to the full, claiming that Moses had brought them out to starve them to death because they were now on a plant-based diet. We're about to be on a plant-based diet. God poured it down from heaven. God will take care of you if you want help, friends. If you really want to eat right, God will pour it down from heaven in the form of manna. Even if you can't grow a garden, God will find a way to get it to you if your heart is right and you really want to follow his diet. God said that I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And watch this. This is powerful. You see, brothers and sisters, a lot of people know that in the New Testament, Abraham is said to have believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's in the Old Testament and the New. Abraham is the symbol that God uses for the New Covenant, not the Old. Abraham is the symbol of the New Covenant, and he was in the Old Testament. So a lot of people are lied to and told that, well, they live by the Old Covenant back then, but we live by the New Covenant. Ten Commandments, brothers and sisters, at this time hadn't even been given. Abraham received the covenant from God. But here's the point. In verse 5 of chapter 26, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. You see, oh, we don't have to keep the law. We just need to be saved. We're saved by grace. We don't have to obey. Oh, the Ten Commandments are done away with at the cross. No, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He is the symbol of the new covenant, and it said he obeyed my voice, God says, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You see, friends, we learn from the covenant that I believe Abraham made with, I forgot who it was, but it said, but you saw in that, we studied it yesterday or the day before, that the covenant actually was an agreement between two people. That's what that verse that we talked about. Remember, Abraham made a covenant with some people of another nation, and they made agreement to do certain things. Abraham made agreement to do certain things. That's what a covenant is. A covenant is a contract. It's an agreement. So the new covenant, you still have to agree to do something. And our agreement is to accept Jesus as our personal Savior and obey him. Because if he's our Savior, he will control us and he will bless us and we will be obedient. That is the new covenant, brothers and sisters. It is not just, oh, I can do anything I want. God's going to save me just because I gave him my life one day. No, that is the most weak, powerless arrangement. You mean God can't keep you from falling? God can't keep you from lust? God can't keep you from appetite? God can't keep you from laziness? God can't keep you from stealing? God can't keep you from lying, gossiping? Come on. What kind of God is he if he doesn't have the power? You gave your heart to him. He can't keep you from those things? Yes, he can. The book of Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So if we're falling, we reject the gospel. If we're continually falling, we're rejecting the gospel. And that's why the church has denigrated. I believe that's the right word. If that's not the right word, the church has become spoiled. Brothers and sisters, you can find anything in the church. You can find wild music. You can find wild dancing. You can find adultery. You can find fornication and adultery, I should say. You can find lying, stealing, or extortion, all kinds of things. And nothing's done about it, brothers and sisters. That's because that might not be the true church, okay? Because the true church, it's not the true church. The true church, you wouldn't see that, brothers and sisters. Now, I'm talking about, listen carefully now. Most people think the true church is an organization. That's the whole point. It's not. An organization can be part of the true church, but the headquarters of the true church is in heaven. God has used organizations to help his people and his church move forward. But the church is always the people. So I'm part of God's true church because I'm faithful. And I don't want to be an independent Adam, brothers and sisters. I'm ready to be a part of a group of people that are accountable to God. But we must be accountable to God. I'm not going to be a part of an organization that just allows anything, that anything goes, that's all political, that wants to be in bed with the government. We're not supposed to be in bed with the government. We're not supposed to be anti-government, but we're not supposed to be in bed with the government just making sure we get that. We can't even hold up a health standard because we want to make sure we get our Medicare and Medicaid payments. You shouldn't have been involved in that system. God warned you against that system. We were supposed to use healthy, natural lifestyle, and we would have been the head and not the tail. But no, you decided you wanted to go and be prestigious in the world, and you wanted to be the leader and give the best chemotherapy drugs and other types of drugs for diseases, brothers and sisters. That's what happened. So don't blame God when you're embarrassed. Now, because you don't have any standing. The world doesn't even hold you in high esteem anymore. They don't, because you've compromised principles, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you that we've got to wake up. Jesus is coming soon. Abraham is the symbol of the new covenant, and he obeyed. Let's read on. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. We're talking about the power of generational curses. And he said, she is my sister. Where did he get that from? His father did it twice. For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest he said, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, for she was fair to look upon. You see, brothers and sisters, your mother might have done wrong. Your grandmother might have done wrong. Your mother might have done wrong. But it's time for you to do right. I don't care how many generations. Papa was a rolling stone. Well, you need to be a cornerstone in your home. You know, just because Papa and Grandpapa and great-grandpapa were rolling stones, that doesn't make you have to be a man that lives in sin. You don't have to. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. When you look at the comment, it says he was caressing Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sayest thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lied with thy wife, meaning laid down with his wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. You see, he didn't just get 1-fold, he received 100-fold. God blesses him. See, brothers and sisters, you know, a lot of people talk about a prosperity gospel. And, you know, they've got it all wrong. They just want you to give up all your stuff so that they can have all their private jets and stuff like that and bodyguards and things of this nature. Now, I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm actually open-minded. I'm not trying to say that in every situation a private jet is unnecessary. I'm not going to even go there because the bottom line is air traffic has become a nightmare. And if your calling, your job, whatever, requires you to be somewhere right away, and you can just drive your car or have somebody drive you to a private airport and jump on a plane, don't have to go through security, hey, that's between you and God. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that don't tell people that all they have to do is just give to your ministry and everything else is going to work out for them. Your ministry is not what's going to make things work out for them. People need to serve the Lord. That's what's going to work out for them. Now, tithe and offering is what God uses to help spread the gospel and to help keep the church moving forward. But, you know, this mega church concept where preachers are rich because of the tithes and offerings of the people, that's not true ministry, brothers and sisters. You shouldn't get rich off the tithes and offerings of the people. If perchance for some reason you got an inheritance and you're rich, so be it. But Jesus, it says of him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. And so we are to, if you've got a large sum of money, you need to be distributing so that other ministries can be blessed and helped and people can. We centralize too much. It's all about one ministry. No, no, no. I don't care if you see one ministry that's prospering. That's not how the work is going to finish. The work is going to be finished as people individually go out and finish the work, brothers and sisters, and small groups get together and form home churches and do what is necessary. And I'm not saying everybody has to be a part of a home church. If there's a larger group and you all can get together, that's fine. But these large mega churches where people get lost and you don't even know, pastor doesn't even know who you are, that's not God's will, friend. It's not God's will. They just want to hoard all the money so they know how to entertain the people. And God is not in all that, friends. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth his man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land. We already talked about that. And he waxed great, went forward, and grew until he became very great. And he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herd, and great store of servants. And now, remember, he had been given a huge inheritance already by Abraham, so God even blessed him more. And the Philistines envied him. You see, brothers and sisters, when God blesses you, that's always going to be with persecution. Remember, we read this all the time, Mark 10:30. but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. So God does want us to be blessed with temporal things on this earth, but just know it's going to come with persecution. When God blesses you, there will be envious people. So God is telling you about them through these stories. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. See, they were just cruel. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they digged in the days of Abraham his father. And the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names of his father, which he had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a powerful principle. They dug the well. Isaac's men dug the well. Others said it's our well. It wasn't their well. But sometimes we want to contend for even that which is ours. And this is a powerful lesson. Sometimes God wants you to walk away. It's not worth the strife. He's got another well for you. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name Sitnah. And he removed from this. He just let them have it. And digged another well, for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not. For I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. And Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me and have sent me away from you? It's interesting. See, sometimes the people that send you away, the people that come to get help from you. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us and betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. See, here it is. There it is. Another one. There's an agreement, a covenant, an oath, a promise between two parties. So people who deal with this new covenant concept that all we have to do is believe and we don't have to obey, that's not what a covenant is. A covenant is always between two, and an agreement is made. So we must obey. Abraham is the symbol of the new covenant, and he obeyed, brothers and sisters. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, and as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bathshemath, the daughter of Elam the Hittite, which were a grief in mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. So Esau married outside of his faith, and that grieved his parents. They knew what had happened with them, that Abraham had sent his servant to find Rebekah for Isaac. So they knew what God could do. And so Jacob, my brothers and sisters, is going a different path than Esau. Esau is kind of going the way of the world, and that is hurtful to his parents. Let's stay with Christ. Let's break generational curses, and let's make sure, brothers and sisters, that we are not letting appetite control us. That's our message for today. It's worship and wellness. The controlling power of appetite definitely, I can't think of the word, but it is a wellness topic. I'll just use that term. There's a phrase I was going to use, but I can't think of it right now. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we Thank you very much for this day. Bless us as we strive to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to open the phone line, friends. We'll start with Facebook. We have South Carolina on the line. We have Georgia. And we have a good morning from Georgia. We have, believe that's Alabama, my dear sister from Alabama. Now, I think she moved there. And we have an amen from Georgia. Thank you, sister. And in on the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware again. So we want to thank God for all of our faithful Delaware people, saints of the Most High from all around. We love all of you. We have New Jersey. We have Ohio again. We have Iowa. We have Georgia. And we are here, servants here in Pennsylvania. We're opening the phone lines, brothers and sisters. If anyone would like to ask a question, have a testimony, just press star 6. If you're on Facebook, just type any comment or question that you have, we'll move forward. Is there anyone? All right. Well, we'll end a little early today. And Sister Maria sends her regards to everyone. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you very much for this day. We thank you for bringing us to this day. We ask for the Holy Spirit, help us to overcome appetite. Help us also to overcome generational curses, that we will not have to do the things that our parents and grandparents did, but we can overcome and start a new lineage. A new legacy. We pray that you would be with us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, friends, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you. Closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust.